see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
We just want to start today's episode by saying to our listeners and our iTunes reviewers and our Twitter friends, thanks to all, including to our many enemies and those who have fought us and lost so badly they just don't know what to do. Love.
I love it. It's actually quite a calming
sound. I think that's the best sound I've ever heard.
We're about to try the Bachelor wine. Olivia, which one is this? Which one are we sampling?
The final rosé.
Just look at that wordplay.
Yeah.
Okay, cheers.
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 Let's see.
How good it is.
It probably should have been chilled.
You could use some ice cubes, I think.
I will say that it's very warm.
It's warm.
We should have thought of that. They've been sitting at my desk.
It has notes of warmth.
Next time, we'll have to sample either the fantasy suite, which is the Cabernet, or what's the white wine?
The one-on-one.
The one-on-one?
Why?
It's literally the one-on-one.
I'd rather drink a two-on-one bottle.
Oh, God, me too.
Okay, both of those just
the queen
so
of the two-on-one.
Yeah, your favorite day. Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
There are a lot of things Nick understands from his time on The Bachelorette.
Like,
and Paradise. Yeah. And also the other Bachelorette.
Yeah, like a woman coming to steal him 14 times during one cocktail hour, or asking him to Janet Jackson her bare bosoms.
But one thing he just can't understand is coming on The Bachelor to date a person you already connected with before the show. I mean, what kind of monster does that?
Oh, yeah.
We learned some other fun stuff about Nick this episode. He loves boob birthdays, bridal fashion, and traffic reports. And we're going to break it all down while drinking the Bachelor brand wine with our guest, Olivia Caridi. Thanks for joining us, Olivia.
Hello, guys.
Yeah, it's a party up in here.
I'm already loving this so much.
It's nothing like being drunk at 10:13 in the morning.
I would never want to be drunk at any other point.
Right, no.
No.
It's my favorite. And then I do a full day of work. I think I have to get an important call right after this, so
good.
I'm going to be really fun in those meetings.
I hope that person listens to this podcast and knows exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So there's so much to get through in this episode.
Yeah.
Group date one.
It was just all so cringeworthy. Like every moment of this episode, I couldn't even enjoy it.
It was horrible. It was so bad.
Okay, so group date one, I'm just going to take periodic breaks here to gulp rosé.
Yeah, I might need a refill.
Group date one, always a bridesmaid, dot, dot, dot. It's Corinne, Sarah, Alexis, Jasmine, Danielle L., Raven, Lacey, Brittany, Haley, Vanessa Taylor.
So they get to dress up as brides or bridesmaids, but no bride that I personally would want to emulate.
There's an 80s bride.
Like a
a shotgun pregnant bride.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. Alexis is the shotgun bride.
Of course she is.
And she says, I didn't know what that was.
So she brought a gun.
You're like, great. No, it's the gun's like, supposed to be to his back. Yeah, it's fine. You know, we get the idea.
But so she's now on her second date with Nick, in theory, wearing an unflattering costume.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling they're just going to do that to her, like, until she goes home probably next week.
She'll get one more costume.
Yeah. She's super cute now that we see her face.
Yeah.
She's from Jersey, so I definitely, you know, would like her to, you know, hop over the river and say hello to us.
I'd like her to make it far enough in the show that she could have some real good dirt to share.
Yes.
I thought that it was like, so the concept of the date is that they're doing a photo shoot with different kinds of weddings. There's like a wedding where they're in a pool and
apparently that's
a kind of wedding.
Apparently it's a beach wedding. That's not
what a beach wedding is.
A beach wedding in a pool, that's just missing the point of being on a beach.
But, there's like an 80s wedding. There's like an Adam and Eve style wedding.
And then there were some just, I guess, more traditional ones that they didn't really name that you just saw girls in ball gowns.
There's like an 80s wedding for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that was Vanessa.
With like, the really tacky bridesmaid dresses. But so the idea is whoever connects with Nick the best during the photo shoot gets a special time with him. The bridesmaids are really at a huge disadvantage here, I gotta say. Because
they have to stand to the side.
Yeah, because it's a little out of concept to just sort of shove your tongue down the throat of the groom during a wedding.
People did, though.
People did.
They went for it.
Yeah.
Lacey, really.
She was at my house while watching it, and I was like, girl, yes, you go. It was great. She was mortified. It was awesome.
That's the whole concept of the show. You just gotta...
Yeah.
But so basically, Corinne is the beach bride, I guess.
Yes.
She's wearing a string bikini.
Because everyone knows that when you get married on the beach, you must just wear a bikini.
Only that.
You don't you don't wear anything
else. She wore like a skirt.
Would we call that a skirt? It was like a...
Drapery.
A wrap. A see-through wrap.
A sarong.
Yeah,
sarong. That's what
I was
like, what is
looking for it.
Yeah, sarong.
And she's really pleased because this means that
she's the sexiest.
She's the sexiest, and that means that she wins.
But then they force another girl,
Brittany,
to be essentially naked.
She looked so good.
She looked amazing.
Girl crush that behind.
I felt
was.
Very, very bad about myself.
I also
in a way I never have after watching this
that
show.
She looked amazing.
Thanks a lot,
I will say.
She's wearing basically a thong with...
I'm shocked she didn't just break down in tears after being told, like, everyone else gets to wear a gown, and you're naked.
And you're no top and barely their underwear.
Yeah. It's like that scene in Sex and the City when she thinks she's going to be modeling a gorgeous dress.
And then she models
and then
jeweled
she's given
underwear.
A pair of jeweled underwear.
That was exactly
that's
like
it.
That.
That's all you're wearing. But that's the thing. They're like, this is what you're going to be wearing. She's like, I'm not a professional model. I just thought I was going to be wearing a dress. And poor Brittany is like, I'm not a professional, like, model who's here to be in a photo shoot wearing whatever. I'm here to, like, date a guy.
I thought she
in
looked
my
amazing.
Clothes.
Oh,
yeah.
She did kept look it together, and she looked
she
hot.
Did really well.
The person who
Corinne
did not
did
keep
not
it together was Corinne.
Corinne
was very upset that she had been one-upped in the
nudity department.
Yes.
So therefore, she took her top off.
Which, by the way, she was still wearing more clothes than Brittany because of her sarong.
It's true. The sarong never came off.
Yeah.
Never.
But so they were doing their photo shoot in the pool. Corinne sort of takes her bikini top off and tells Nick to just grab her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Which she kept talking about. She's just really excellent television. But the way she was talking about taking her top off, you would have thought it was just like the biggest, most like deepest risk a woman could take. Like she was like, I made the bold move and I took the risk.
I took my top off. Oh my God.
I was like, this is amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, she's very impressed with everything that Corinne does.
Corinne is the third person. I loved it. There's only the most terrifying thing about Corinne was Corinne talking in third person.
Yeah. But she definitely sees herself in that sort of larger than life way. Mm-hmm. But that's what you have to do to be able to like be on television mm-hmm. in front of a lot of people and just be like, grab my boobs. I mean, the
take
one, there is the risk that he will say no. And that is.
But this is Nick. And I think he likes an aggressive lady.
Yeah.
And he likes touching boobs.
That too. That's
where I was going.
Two for
with
one.
That,
so. Yeah.
He likes boobs.
He likes boobs. Yeah.
And then so she gets kind of sloppy drunk later and is very like, he held my boobs in a way that no one has ever held them before.
And no one ever will.
I really want to know what that means.
Yeah, like,
is that a spoiler?
This will be the last man.
She just spoiled the show.
the last man to hold my breath.
He, like, whispered in her ear. He was like, no one is ever going to hold your breasts again.
Ever again.
I've really never attached such importance to the groping of the breast.
Yeah. But mine don't really need to be held. They're kind of self-holding.
Self-held.
Yeah, they're yes. attached to me.
I totally get it.
Yeah. So
you're like, oddly, they stay on.
Occasionally stay someone on. Needs to do a quick hold
yeah,
for me.
A little boost.
Just hold these for a second while
can you just push them up a little bit?
Yeah.
Also, the photographer
made the entire show. He's perfect.
He's
in every
like,
way.
Spank her. Spank her.
You know each other before time.
Gorgeous.
Look at each other.
Chemistry.
Now.
Like, yes. Was he an actor or an actual photographer?
Both.
Both. Yeah. Both.
I mean, this is Los Angeles, right?
The other one.
Olivia's eating our
We're
sugar
eating
fina.
These
our final
rose
excellent.
Candies is the best yeah. breakfast I've ever had.
Yeah, we're going real
and
healthy.
Roses and, sorry. Yeah,
I should eat with my mouth
full. It's for my January diet. Mm. So.
Yeah. New year, new me, you know?
Dry diet January.
Paleo.
It's just different forms of sugar is this diet.
Paleo. Sorry.
So the winner of the competition is Corinne, obviously, because she voluntarily took her top off, mm-hmm. which is a really cool message.
Right.
And then
some of the other women are less than thrilled. Yeah. Raven and Vanessa, you can tell, are getting a little fed up.
Yeah.
They're like, is this what we're doing? Is this how this show goes?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And Taylor, I thought, had a nice moment with him during her photo shoot.
Yeah. I thought hers was the best.
She is wise beyond her years.
But I didn't see, like, was there ever a point where Nick was like, oh, Corinne is the winner here? Or was it, like, I think the photographer picked.
Oh, and then she got the rose at the end.
That was when Nick picked.
Yeah.
Nick picked at the end. So the photographer picked Corinne as the winner, and the prize was she had to put on an actually pretty wedding dress and take photos on top of the car that was decorated with, like, just married.
It's not a great prize.
Yeah, it's like she gets extra special time with him, which just amounted to, like, sitting on a car.
In a costume.
But you can't talk in a photo shoot because then your mouth is like.
Yeah.
So either way, it wasn't a great one.
So she, from what I can interpret, immediately left that photo shoot and started drinking a lot of wine.
And we saw them drinking, like, first thing in the morning. So they started
Which
early.
Often they don't show as much. I feel like you see people drunk but don't see them drinking. Like, they usually kind of edit it out.
I totally agree.
And this one, we were
actually
seeing
it. For some reason, it was more present, the bottle or
the
glass.
Yeah, and the glasses.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you can let us know. Like, how – is there just alcohol around at all times when you're in, like, the mansion portion?
Yeah, I mean, like, when you're in a limo or in the mansion, you know, there's vodka, champagne, wine, you name it, anything you could ever want.
And you have nothing to do.
Well, I didn't drink. It's not hard to not drink, but it's very easy to drink.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, I could tell she was slurring her words.
Yeah.
Her eyes were red. Like, she was drunk.
Very drunk.
She was very drunk.
And I just could never get there on that show. But there was a lot of drunkenness.
I feel like if you sort of just started, I could see myself, like, I'll have a few drinks and then all of a sudden I'm bored and, like, slurring my words. And giving a lecture to all the other women about re-interruption.
Oh, God.
Okay, yeah, the evening portion got real. Oh, and meanwhile, Corinne announces that her dad would have been very proud of her for winning the competition through her bold move of taking her top off.
Daddy would be proud.
Even though I was naked, Daddy
dad
would be proud.
Daddy.
She really has great one-liners. We'll give her that.
Listen, yeah. It's not that he should be embarrassed that she was naked, but just that her first thought was of her dad being proud.
After she got naked.
Just like there's a lot of
right.
weird
I'd prefer not to have
things happening
the
next.
Initial word association after nudity be dad.
Yeah.
Just like putting it out there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But she does live with her dad, so, you know.
Yeah. And
a lack of separation there.
Multi-million
dollar Okay, so company. I got a text from a friend of mine last night who was watching with her boyfriend. And she's like, my boyfriend, Billy, looked this up, and Corinne is in sales at the company. She is not the CEO. She is not the CMO. She's not actually running this company, which does explain how she could take potentially 3 months off from this multi-million dollar company.
She ain't running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to clarify.
Yeah, she ain't running.
And several people have pointed out that the business is, it's called like Armor Garage
it's like,
or something.
What, like flooring or tiles?
Yeah, it's like
something?
It's like do
it's
it
not
home,
even something she's going to want to do flooring. For the rest of her life.
Well, probably. But the cool thing about it is that it's online.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what her bio said.
E-com. So,
I know. I don't know if you've
Dream.
Heard about this little thing called the internet.
Yeah. The interwebs are a gorgeous
But you can
thing.
Surf the net. Mm.
It's one
I try
thing
to avoid
have
surfing
a
the
business,
nets.
But what if it were online?
Okay. Then she does run it. Then she definitely does.
Yeah.
Right, because only millennials can understand the internet.
Then she for sure runs it. She's valuable. Invaluable to the company.
So at the evening portion of the date, Corinne grabs Nick first and second and third. And basically 2 seconds into every conversation he's having, Corinne is there like, hi.
I loved like the rules of The Bachelor according to Corinne. Like that is fine because she is principled in her interruption.
She's classy.
But if someone then re-interrupts her as Taylor did,
oof.
You
done. That is rude.
Yeah, that is unclassy.
It's pointed.
It is rude. It is a personal attack.
Yeah. I have never seen such a switch from just calm to livid from like Corinne on The Bachelor having this nice conversation with Nick and then suddenly being interrupted by Taylor
going
flying
AWOL.
Into a
she I loved her monologue.
Upset.
I mean, it was so long. No one cared. But she cared. She put her heart into it.
And then when she was talking to Taylor and they just were like, are you okay? Are you okay? Okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. As long as you're okay.
If you're okay, then I'm okay.
I don't think you're actually okay about being okay.
Are you okay?
She's like, as long as there isn't like a situation
about
the situation.
About the situation.
Like, it's fine.
Okay.
And then she goes to her in the moment. She's like, I called Taylor out. I told her.
You didn't there.
Here's what she was doing. Okay. So Corinne interrupted Taylor like very early in the conversation. Taylor then goes back for more time. Corinne has had plenty of time with Nick at that point.
Yes.
But Corinne is very upset. So she sits down with Taylor and tries to get Taylor to appear to be the one to start the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So she keeps goading Taylor to say that she's upset, but Taylor won't take the bait.
Taylor keeps just saying, yep, I enjoyed my time.
Yeah.
Yep, we had a great conversation.
I love it.
And
she is... You don't mess with the therapist.
No.
Yeah. Taylor knows what's going on.
She knows how
secretly,
to communicate.
Like, digesting everything, seeing what's up with Corinne right here. How can I help her emotionally?
She's going to, like, slip her card after and be like, look.
Girl, I did all of this while you were talking. I thought
and just to be clear,
this.
I love therapy. This is not to make light
therapy
of mental
health care.
Therapy
is my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. I go to therapy. I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should be in it.
I agree.
Yeah, especially
Second.
Corinne.
Yeah. Especially Corinne.
I worry about her.
Me too.
And she does not worry about herself, though.
No.
Corinne is happy with Corinne.
Corinne is very happy with herself.
Well, but that's exactly the best. Like, she thinks she's very strong and bold, but she's actually just exposing all her vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
Taylor's
who knows
just
about
taking notes.
Vulnerabilities is Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Taylor goes back for this conversation with Nick, and she seems really happy with how it went.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Nick was sort of like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, that she kind of says some things, and
can
Nick...
Can I say that I think Nick is meh about everybody?
I kind of feel like he is,
I think he's meh about most of them.
I haven't once on this entire season, which we're only two episodes in, but, like, seen any romantic sparks of any kind whatsoever.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Right. You have a little bit of sexual chemistry.
Nothing,
maybe,
nothing
a little,
lasting. But nothing where I'm like, oh, wow.
No,
they
like,
are
look.
A match.
He will enjoy making out with Corinne. Do I think that she's the type of person that he would want to have a long term relationship with?
No.
No.
Yeah. And most of the time when he has a conversation that appears to be more in depth, he just has a hard time looking interested.
He's uninterested.
There, I mean,
he's like, let me ask you about your career. Interesting.
What is your favorite color? And then looks away like, I don't care what you're saying.
Good. Well, we have successfully had this conversation.
I've officially knocked this off my list of questions I have to ask
for my presence. Okay.
Not into it. Not into it.
Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable to watch because, I don't know, like, Taylor got a different read on this, and Taylor is a therapist, as we mentioned recently. Mm-hmm. But I'm someone who's very socially anxious, so I'm always very attuned to whether people seem to be uncomfortable around me or
definitely,
don't want to talk
yes.
to me. And I was getting so many vibes like that during
the whole episode.
The whole episode.
Totally.
That I could barely watch.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, it was painful.
I wanted to hide under my coffee
Nick had
table.
A decent conversation with Raven, who sort of grew on me this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
She came off as very straightforward.
Yeah, she's kind of no bullshit.
I mean, she told him that he had glitter on his nose, so that was pretty deep.
I mean, it's true love.
Yeah.
If I can tell a man there's something on his face, I'm a straight shooter.
Okay, so back at the house, we start the Liz saga. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I don't even want to. This whole thing was so painful. I don't
so
even know.
Stupid.
So Liz confides in Kristen about the fact that she slept with Nick, which, like, hey, if you're kind of holding that, you need to tell someone.
Gotta say something.
Yeah, you need to find someone that you feel like can be your friend and dish to them. I also – someone messaged us about this, and apparently Charlene pointed this out in her recap last night, so I want to call it out now. Liz, they keep playing this clip where Liz says, we had sex.
Yes.
And if you listen to it carefully, you can tell she said it once, and they are literally looping that audio and editing it into every single thing she says. So she appears to be much more obsessed and readily speaking about how they slept together than she actually is. I want to put that out
there. You also have to think that the producers only talk to her about that one thing. Like that,
right?
I mean, I have a feeling she actually could have done pretty well, if all of that hadn't even been.
Oh yeah. I mean, she's age appropriate for Nick. She's 100% his type.
Oh,
she seems very smart and accomplished. They have mutual friends. Like,
I just think, they were. I could tell they're looping that one thing all the time. And of course, people shut up about it. She's not the one talking about it constantly. That was the same.
She had maybe a couple of conversations with Kristen about it, which, like, fair.
Which
and
is fine.
Yeah, you have a friend. You're sitting around a house doing nothing, and, like, you slept with the guy. I would talk about it, too.
Yeah.
And we have to talk, though, about having a couple conversations with Kristen. Because she appeared to be having one conversation with Kristen.
But they had seven outfit changes.
There's so many outfit changes.
Yeah. She's like, Kristen, Nick and I have a history. Cut to new shot. Kristen and Liz in completely different outfits
different
and hairstyles.
Different headband entirely.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did hook up that night. Cut to Kristen and Liz, different hairstyles and makeup and outfits.
There was just no – they were like, we're not even going to try to have continuity
here. The continuity the whole night, I
it
was just
pointing
out
the impression
every
that
moment.
They had a conversation that just that was like epic. It was like a breakup fight that lasted
wait, I need
for
to take
hours.
A break. I need to shower and change and then we can
we'll come
back.
We're
going to
revisit this
Tell
after
me more
dinner.
About how you made out in the hallway.
What about the hallway?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The hotel lobby.
I thought it was so, like, I'm sure that she had her reasons, but I thought it was funny that Liz chose Kristen as the one most likely to be non-judgmental when Kristen is obsessed with saving herself for marriage.
And I feel very strongly about
that. And, like, Kristen kept saying, oh, I can't even say what Liz told me on family television.
Yeah, literally.
And ABC basically showed everything Liz said.
Everything.
And Kristen was like, I can't say. It's family television.
And ABC was like, okay, we'll show it.
It's very family-oriented.
Yeah. They're going to play Liz saying it 50 times an hour. So you don't have to say it.
I loved that. I laughed really hard at that.
But Kristen kept her secret pretty well in the end.
No, she did. So I give her credit for that.
Yeah. She, you know, I don't think that she was very sympathetic about Liz's behavior, but she was.
But I do think she acted as like a, you know, decently good confidant.
Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah.
At best.
I mean, she did eventually bring it up to Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is why I have trust issues just a little bit. Like, girl, you didn't need to tell him. You could have let Liz tell him.
Right.
Yeah. That was – that whole I mean, I have thoughts about how Nick handled that.
I do, too.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get
– let's get through it.
Let's really quickly talk a bit about Danielle's one-on-one.
First, we have to point out Nick gave Corinne the group date rose, which is another thing that really disappointed me about this episode. He's got to know. Like, at one point, he even said to Corinne, like, she came to steal him again. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know why the girls are waiting to, like, take you. And he was like, oh, well, there's, like, a balance, I guess, between coming for time and being polite.
Rude. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so, like, he knows that she is the villain in the house. Like, he knows that she's pushing the girls' buttons. Mm-hmm. And I, like, he clearly is playing into that narrative on purpose, I think.
He's, like, a pretty self-aware guy.
I think that he's playing along with production
a lot in this episode.
I think so. I think so.
And I think Corinne is, too.
Yeah, I was wondering your thoughts on – no, oh, I also want to be careful to not conflate Olivia's role on her season with Corinne's, because I know that you were getting a lot of tweets, and I feel like there's this weird thing that people do where it's like, oh, she's framed as, like, the, quote, villain.
Yeah.
Therefore, all of these people are the same.
Yeah. We're not the same. I never took my top off. Like, I never –
right, like, you're just your personality – even if we're just going by edit, your totally personalities are not the same.
No, we're totally different people. Someone even quote-unquote tweeted me, watch what you're saying because you were her last year. I'm like, I was Corinne. I was her. I was physically her. Like,
you're both
give
blonde,
me more credit. So. Yeah, we're blonde. Yeah. That's about all we have in common.
Right. No, I was laughing at that. I mean, it's the same way that people are obsessed with the idea that, like, everyone framed as the villain must date Chad, who is, like, a literal sociopath.
Everyone thinks now they've gone from me being perfect for Chad to Corinne being perfect for Chad.
I would not wish, like, Chad on any woman.
Never.
Yeah. I've yet to see a woman on The Bachelor that I think
could actually
deserves to deal with
right.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
And then Corinne gives the enormous speech that's like, I earned this rose. I gave him me. I gave him Corinne.
Be yourself.
I was just me. She's slurring. And all the other girls are just sitting there being like, can we move along? She's like, I was just me, guys. I was just Corinne.
They're like,
just
you don't have to convince us. And they're like, we got the rose already.
We got it.
It's fine.
That's great.
That's where you really fall down is when you can be the villain, but you can't also be the thought leader in the house.
No.
You can't be the guru of the house and the villain.
No.
Okay, so the one-on-one comes.
Pretty.
Was there a one-on-one?
Right.
Not a lot of screen time.
Not notable. Danielle M., she's very nice.
Cute.
They're both from the Midwest. She's super cute. She's a really sad backstory.
Mm-hmm. Lacey calls her, Lacey was like, I'm so happy Danielle M. got the one-on-one because I didn't even know a girl could be that nice. So she's well-liked in the house.
Lacey loves her. She was talking all night last night about how much she loves her.
Danielle seems really nice. Mm-hmm.
She almost seems
too
like
nice for him.
Nice that I, like, couldn't deal with it. Like, every time she talked, I was like, I need her to like,
someone, make a bitch comment.
Someone was like, was she sedated before this day?
But
she's
then,
cute. I love girl with a bob.
Oh,
yeah.
She had
love
a great,
great bob.
Great hair.
No extensions. I love it.
She's super cute. And she's, like, a little older, a little more mature. Mm-hmm. She has a career. Like, I'm very into her. But
not
this often
Nick.
No. This often happens, though, in the first one-on-one. It's usually someone who's, like, very nice, who the lead's going to have a decent enough connection with, but not usually someone who's, like, a contender for final two.
Right. Like, it was, like, Derek or something last season.
Yeah, like, always someone who's, like, a really solid human, but not—
My season was Kayla. Mm. She went far.
Right. But went far, super nice.
Yeah. Great
like,
girl.
Yeah, great person, but, like, maybe not going to be the one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she tells Nick just very straightforwardly that she lost her fiancé, like, 5 years prior.
From an overdose.
From an overdose, and that she found him, and she did not know that he had an addiction, which is just, like,
so
three punches
tragic.
In a row. Yeah. That is a lot.
It was such an awkward setup because it came right after Nick was like, look— I got dumped on national TV. I don't know if you know. And you know that that was like a producer. Like, you need to say
the
thing.
There was no way she, yeah, like, to say the spiel again just was so redundant and stupid. Everybody knows.
Right, like, we, like, they've all watched.
Everybody
all
knows.
Watched.
She knows that you were on the show 100 times. Let's be real.
I will say that when she made that big, like, shocking reveal, I felt like he showed some maturity in his response.
Absolutely.
Because I felt like if it were a younger bachelor, like a Ben Higgins, that's a moment where you would see some deer in the headlights.
Yeah, like, what do I say now?
Yeah.
Like
a little stumbling. No, he was very warm and, you know, I thought they had a good conversation about it.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult thing because these people, two people don't know each other. And she just shared, you know, probably the most traumatic intimate thing that's ever happened to her.
I do love at the beginning of their little dinner portion, she said to him, I don't know anything about you. And I was like, thank you. Finally.
Right. You're like,
someone admits
strangers.
That you don't actually know anything about each other by that point.
Well, that was, I guess, kind of, in theory, the jumping off point for him being like, I got dumped on national TV. And I was like, well, did
like,
she mean
she didn't
know
the
one
thing
that's
she
what
does
she
know.
Meant.
Yeah.
That she doesn't know you.
Right.
Their only thing to know is that I was dumped on national TV.
And also I'm from Wisconsin.
And I'm Midwestern.
Yeah. And now he does a lot of lifting rocks.
Yep.
So she gets the rose and Nick gives like a nice little speech. He says like, what I saw tonight was a woman with incredible strength. I connected with Danielle in a much more profound way than I thought I would. And I was like, oh, what? Nick, right. Nick knows words other than amazing and incredible.
And literally.
That's cool. That's real great. Yeah. Kudos to Nick. We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. When we get back, we'll have more with Olivia Creedy. Stay with us. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show.
Group date number
two.
Okay.
We need to talk, dot, dot, dot. And it's funny because Liz actually needs to talk to him, she points out. And
so weird.
And she is on the group date along with Kristen. Astrid, Jamie, Christina, and Josephine. And they go to the Museum of Broken Relationships, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. I was like, I want to just go there. I don't want to watch you people like, act things out. I want to. Can we know more about the museum?
Can you give the address, please?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have read about it before.
Me too. I've heard of it.
And so then they go see like Nick's exhibit. Which is really boring.
I thought it should have had two rings, to be fair.
I don't think he ever got to pick out a ring for Andy because she came that morning. She dumped him first.
But yeah, that was like, I'm like, I want to hear about these other exhibits. We all know that you picked out a Neil Lane ring.
Yeah.
We got it.
And then he got to give another little speech about how it allowed him to learn about hope and change and... moving America forward into a brighter future.
I love it.
And then the craziest thing happens, which is there in the Museum of Broken Relationships, this couple starts having this insanely dramatic breakup. Like,
whoa!
They're fighting. They're airing their dirty laundry.
Wait, who was it that, like, I felt so bad that production, like, made them say it, like, well, oh my this is so crazy that this is happening between this couple right in
How
front of us.
How could this happen right here, right now? I feel like, I think it was Josephine, maybe.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Come on.
Sorry, I just finished my rosé.
There's more.
Anyone want to pour up?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a slap. She storms out.
Everyone gasps.
There's a very familiar sounding clip at that point of a woman saying, I'm done here. I'm done. It turns out Josephine did not say that. And it turns out that
The slap was nothing.
It was.
As usual.
I know.
It's like, I could have told. I mean, I think anyone who's watched this show enough times, whatever they are teasing is not the context of it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was like a 3% chance that it was a real slap, but as soon as that couple started arguing, I was like, no, it's not a real
100%
slap. 100% not a real slap. So they're going to act out breakups in order to – there's some sort of purpose to that.
It wasn't communication. Really stated, honestly. It was just like, let's act out a breakup.
Let's just break up for fun.
There's something
like
about,
in preparation for when Nick actually dumps all of you.
Nick practicing what he will say to you when he breaks up with you.
Yeah, he's like taking notes. Yeah. Like, oh, that was a good line.
Practice makes perfect, you guys.
I think that this is their chance to break up with him.
Because they know they will be dumped.
Yeah, and then they'll get to look back on that after he dumps them and be like, at least I got some real good shots in, you know?
Mm-hmm. None of the breakups were even, like, good. Like,
the Josephine one where she just, for some reason, created a situation where Nick was an alcoholic.
I was like, she went straight for the
slap. Russian girl, what was it, like, something about teeth or
because she's a dental hygienist.
Oh, I missed that. I was like, why are we breaking up over dental stuff?
She's like, did you brush your teeth this morning? Yes. Well, did you floss?
No.
You know I'm a dental hygienist and I care about your oral health. And then he made a joke about oral sex. And
oh, did he?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
He was I thought you were going to take that in a different direction or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Have mercy.
Astrid,
gives him back his rose because he's dating other women, obviously. Yeah, most of them are pretty straightforward.
Right. But this whole time we're leading up to
I do have to say Liz. Quickly about Josephine, it was bold, but like I don't think that you can I felt like it was still kind of shady to just like smack someone.
Yeah,
it was
yeah, weird. I don't and even think he was he didn't find it like he was
I mean, who wants no one should be hit in the face. Like yeah. Let's just use that as a baseline.
I know.
Reality.
I was like if you're acting out in a play, a slap, you are prepared ahead of time.
Right, and you actually know how to
you know
stage
how to
a
do
slap.
It. Yeah, yeah, so that you're not actually injuring each other.
But she just hit him.
Yeah, she
like,
straight
let's
up
be
him.
Clear, she just hit him in the face.
It's like if you just Bio. Hit someone and then you're just like, but I was joking.
And you're like, that's not
That's not an excuse that is no, acceptable.
It's like, I think that's the first time I've been slapped in the face. I hope I it's
was
the last.
Surprised by that.
Yeah.
But
that was weird. Wasn't expecting that.
We're going to have a lot of commentary like that this season.
Yeah.
And then we're leading all the way up to Liz.
Mm-hmm. And the whole time.
Who whips out a script.
Well, yes. And we have to say that when they are in the museum portion mm-hmm. of this date, she keeps trying to have conversations with him. And he, like, will not
make
eye contact with her. And I felt so much secondhand embarrassment and discomfort watching this. Because I feel like most people have been in a situation where you've had some sort of romantic entanglement with someone or hooked up with them, and then, like, you try to be normal and you can sense that they don't want to be around you and they don't want to, like, look at you. And I was just, like, having horrible, just generalized flashbacks to that feeling. And
I just think that was where Nick lost me there. I thought that was stupid and rude and disrespectful to not make eye contact with her. I mean, I will say, like, Ben on my season did everything in his power to make people feel comfortable. And I think in a situation that's so awkward and, like, you don't – she doesn't deserve – it takes two to tango. You got in the sheets with her, too. So for you to act like she's disgusting and I can't even look at her and, like, you being here is making me awkward, like, that's
– right, and yeah. I totally understood the – you know, episode one, having that sort of putting the question out there,
right.
Like, hey, it's weird to me that you declined my number and then showed up. I'm not sure how to feel about this. And that all tracked with me. This episode, I felt really weird and gross about all of their interactions.
He should have had that conversation with her right away.
Right.
And instead he walked away from it.
I agree.
In a way that felt kind of like he was trying to punish her.
Totally.
And then he kept not having it. He could have set up a conversation. He could have had mm-hmm. it while they were at the museum. He kept waiting and putting her in this situation of limbo. And I think he did it to create drama because he knew she was going to be feeling isolated. She was going to talk to someone in the house.
And he knew
which is
he
what
was
going
to send her home. He didn't – their conversation, he wasn't even really
he wasn't
listening to what she was saying.
And just like the way he was during this – I mean, yeah, the breakup speech thing was really awkward. But he was like – looking up in the air, like he was just grossed out by her, you know, like play along. Okay, yeah, it was really awkward. It was weird. But after
also,
she was done.
Been on this show, it was so obvious that a producer was in her ear being like, this is your chance. He's been avoiding you. This is your chance to be on it. Right. Like, you can just see how that was set up.
Like, I just find it funny that he's giving crap to the girl who might have come on the show to meet or, you know, fall in love with him when this is your fourth time doing this, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
so this was another thing I was thinking about afterwards, and I think I tweeted this and texted Claire about it. I was like, why is the cardinal sin of this show going on TV in part because you want to go on TV? Presumably, mm-hmm. and I don't mean that everyone has, you know, quote-unquote impure intentions, which isn't even a thing, but, like, if you're going on television, you at least in part mm-hmm. think it would be fun and interesting and cool to be on television.
Of course.
Else, why would you
You'll
go
fall
on
in love normally.
There's no other way to find love. Like, that's your only shot is to, like, you're like, the last thing I want to do is be on television. But I want to find love, so I have to go on.
Yeah.
No, you're like, I want to go on this cool trip.
And
be
also,
on TV,
maybe I'll find love, and that would be
love.
Really awesome.
It would be great.
And every person who's been on the show that we have interviewed, even, like, Sean and Catherine, who, you know, are in love and have a baby. They were like, yeah, neither of us even went on the show initially thinking we would find love at all. Yeah. We thought it would be a cool experience. We thought it would be a good break from our jobs that we didn't like. And then, you know, we met each other and it was awesome.
And it worked out. But yeah. Like, there were just the whole situation with her, I didn't think he handled that right at all.
I agree. And
he should have just sent her home night one. And instead he played along with creating drama because he clearly knew he felt uncomfortable and he didn't want her there, which is totally his prerogative. But like, to drag it out was just kind of crappy.
To me, it was obvious that was all a producer ploy. Like, he could have done a lot more to at least act semi-interested in the fact that she was there, or like semi-interested in hearing her out. It just seemed to me like, oh, you know, you got to keep her here. She's got to stay here. We've got to drag this storyline. Like, don't roll your eyes when she's talking. That's just rude.
Yeah, he kept saying, you know, I really want to be open and find a reason to get – he didn't want to find a reason to give her a chance. He wasn't listening at all. And even earlier in the day when they were wandering around the museum, he would kind of wander past her and say a few words to her, and she would sort of try to engage,
and he would walk away.
And she would be left sort of stunned.
So immature.
It was very – I was very disappointed. And Jade was tweeting about this and has spoken about it. Liz is her best friend. And Jade obviously knows Nick. They're friends. And, you know, Jade knew that Liz was coming on the show and encouraged her to go on the show because she wanted to give – things with Nick another chance, and Jade really thinks that Liz got a bum rap and disappointed by how Nick handled it. And I just feel like it's so weird to me that Nick wouldn't give his friend's best friend a little bit more understanding
or benefit of the doubt, especially because he's someone who had come on the show to explore a relationship with someone that he
presented it in this way. He was like, did she come here to get to know me better or to be on TV? And I was like, well, you of all people should know that it could be both.
Yes, of all people.
That's the thing. It you could want both.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you're going to go on television, you have to in part want to go on television. You're not making some great, grand, selfless sacrifice.
And if you do end up falling in love, half of your life is like public eye / television / interviews. That's part of it.
Yeah.
I just think he was kind of over it. And he even sort of said this. He's like, oh, when you said no, like I closed off to you. Like I said goodbye to you in my head. And I think that there are certain people who function that way where they're like, once I'm done, I'm done, which again is fine, but then send her home night one because you already knew that.
Yeah.
Like nothing changed.
Yeah. And she, I think, understandably wanted a different kind of guy. And she has this, her breakup speech was sort of that she herself was a little closed off that night, and when he asked for a number, she said no, but kind of hoped that he would try harder, and he didn't. And she was like, you're going to meet someone that you'll fight for harder than that. And I think most women have dated a guy who was only interested if you made it really easy for them.
Yeah,
totally.
And that never ends up working out. Because men are socialized to fight for the women that they want to be with, like that's kind of, they know that's how it works.
If he's not fighting, he doesn't care.
Yeah. And it might be sexist, but that's just how they're, so like I used to be like, I shouldn't expect that from them because that's unfair. But then I ended up dating people who didn't care about me because I was like, it's okay that they're not fighting for me.
And I think also women are socialized to be overly accommodating.
That's also true.
Yeah, totally.
Also, there's like a weird setup where after that, Nick talks to all the women before her because he like can't concentrate on the conversations because he's worried about the conversation with Liz.
Yeah,
so
we
why
just
didn't
sort
he
of
talk
skim,
to her first?
We also just sort of skim over like the really – what could have been a really interesting conversation about the fact that Jamie has dated a woman.
Yeah.
Which I thought – like I think that's so awesome.
I agree.
The Bachelor is featuring, you know, a queer woman of color who is open and wants to talk about these things. Yeah. And I thought they had a really funny like banter about how she's like, yeah, don't worry, I won't go after the women that I like.
I won't go for all the girls you want.
I was like, that's awesome.
I just felt like he was, you know, by him saying, I'm going to talk to all the girls and see if they bring it up. I feel like he was letting the women write the narrative for him. Like, depending on what they bring up, that's when I'll say something.
Right.
It just was
off. He was 100% facilitating drama, even though he was acting like he was trying to avoid it.
Absolutely.
Like, the most straightforward thing to have done would be to settle this with Liz night one, or, barring that, to settle it with her before.
First thing. Yes.
Yeah.
When she's on the state.
Right. Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, no, these women are going to think I've been lying to them, and they're going to leave.
Also, that's so ridiculous. He's known them for a week, and he slept with her 9 months ago. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Moving along.
I can't imagine what the logic would be behind leaving because of this.
No one will leave.
Also, I don't think any of the tears that they teased for next week are actually about Liz.
I bet they're totally something else.
Because she's gone. So there's not even that drama of when Nick came into Caitlyn season late of like advantage or whatever. It's like he sent her home. So
he's not coming home with her. So
maybe it'll be like a Chad situation where you hear like a whistle in the woods and Liz is back.
Oh.
And everyone's like,
Liz has a little more self-respect.
Yeah,
he was like, can I walk you out? She's like, yeah, yeah,
yes,
let me get me the fuck out of here.
I'll just see myself out. Thanks.
Yeah, we did kind of jump over the Jamie conversation.
It didn't get any love.
Well, he was just like, okay, but like, what do you know about me and Liz, though, is the thing. And Kristen.
He's like, I sense that you're trying to tell me something about yourself, but
but I'm not listening. Kristen is the only one who knows. And so he finally gets that out of her. She doesn't seem that upset, though, by it, Kristen.
By the fact that Liz had hooked up with him?
Yeah.
No. She seems a little, like, judgy because she's not someone who is into casual sex. But besides that, like, she's certainly not leaving the house.
But if she's judgy about casual sex, why is she there to date Nick? Like, that is his brand. His brand is casual sex.
Right? He is the man who has made the Bachelor franchise acknowledge sex.
Yeah, his brand is like, what's wrong with sex anyway?
Let's just all have sex.
Yeah, and talk about it. Speaking of which, the little clip we get at the end is of Alexis celebrating the first birthday of her fake boobs.
Love it.
She's just...
Love it.
A gem.
With two matching cupcakes, which they apparently were disgusting. How do you have a bad cupcake? They both bit into the cupcakes
and they
were like, ugh.
Of all the things this show does, like helicopters and all this stuff, you couldn't just get a yummy cupcake?
Yeah. How is the food?
Get a yummy cupcake.
That they give you.
I mean, the mansion is great because there's like a grocery list and they will buy whatever's on the grocery list. And then, as you're traveling, you know, that we have room service. Or not room service, but like they have a giant room with a bunch of tables and they'll have basically like a restaurant in the room because we can't go in like in public anywhere.
Right.
But the food, like in Mexico City, there was fish and vegetables and dessert bars. It was great.
Ooh,
the food was awesome.
Man.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
I loved the food.
I think that's the real reason that the age range is always like 21 to 25, because once I hit 26, I just started gaining weight every time I looked at a piece of cake.
Oh.
So if you cooped me up in a hotel with a dessert bar
for six weeks. Luckily, they took the food away, like after an hour. I was like, thank God, because I would just come and keep eating.
Snack, yeah.
So bad.
When you have nothing to do, like, and there's delicious food there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
That's what I would, That's already what I do with my time.
So, Olivia, how was your watch party last night?
All day I was wanting to have a watch party, and then as the day was wearing on, I was kind of like, I really don't want to have people over. But I take live tweeting so seriously that while the show is airing, like, I don't talk to people. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
It's so serious to me. It's like a job. I have to make people laugh on Twitter I'm not doing anything right. I just was defending Corinne because this show would be nothing without her.
Yeah.
She's great TV.
So let's all just love on her a little bit and, like, give her a break because she makes this show.
I want to meet her. I'm always curious.
She's like a classic Bachelor villain in the best way, where she just
has to be on here.
I remember when Chad was the villain, and I was like, I don't like this. Yeah. This is bad.
Because it's Corinne. He's a real bad guy.
I don't know. I tweeted something like, people need to appreciate villains. This show, if it was just people sitting around at a table holding hands and singing Kumbaya, this wouldn't be a show. So, right. You know, enough with, like, the ripping her and ripping everyone. I got it, too. It's fine. I get it. But I was just like, come on, people.
There's also a way to make fun of the show and even, like, be like, that person's not someone I'd want to be my best friend. There's, like, a line, right?
I mean, look, Corinne, what's airing right now is a little terrifying. And we are – I don't exactly like being compared to her, but she is a human.
Yes.
And, you know, there was alcohol and pressure and weirdness. And, heck, I love the show because of her. She's awesome.
As I said, I tweeted last night, like, I'm like, say what you will, but she is fabulous.
She's a disaster.
TV.
I love it. But, yeah.
But having someone to tweet mocking things about is part of the villain. Unfortunately, for Corinne.
Yeah, and that's why we then, you know, we'll have her on the show.
Thank you,
we'll
Corinne, for allowing me to tweet.
Yeah, exactly. We need her.
Anyway, so any predictions for next week before we wrap it up?
Just that the tears are not about Liz. That's my one prediction.
No one's going to go home. I mean, people will be like, oh, my God, wow, that Liz story. But she's not there, so they can't drag that out for that long.
And then I guess there'll be a rose ceremony at the beginning of
and a cocktail
episode?
Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everyone will be asking him about Liz. So she will still get airtime even though she's not there.
Poor girl.
Right.
I know.
I hope she's just not watching.
We saw Vanessa sort of saying to Nick, are you here to find a wife or someone, you can
fuck around with? I like her.
I think that's going to be about Corinne.
Yes. I agree.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's about Liz.
Yeah.
No.
I think people are honestly – so everyone's going to go home. The girls from the cocktail party on the group date are going to talk about the disaster that Corinne was. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the anger was directed towards her. Coming home with a group date rose after everyone is saying, oh, she stole – him 100 times. That's probably where
that's
the
anger. That's like the ridiculous thing is that Nick is so worried that people are going to be upset about Liz, and he very knowingly stirred up drama in the house by giving a group date rose to someone that he's got to know is not popular. He's got the experience. He's got
the producer insight.
He knows she's not popular.
Lacey got some good airtime of her in the moments cut with her just, like, nodding at Corinne.
Yeah. you're really talking about this right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you really won the whole group date, didn't you?
Yeah, and then as far as what else is happening, it was just tears. I didn't see anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't even really inform my top four, except that last night made me think Raven does way better than I thought.
I agree.
Based on the first
episode. I had an idea of who I thought was going to win, and then last night kind of threw me, like, just a little bit. But I can't listen to that accent for a long time, so.
She won't win. I think she will make it a lot farther along than I thought, though.
I agree.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I'm still holding out for Vanessa.
She, to me, got that first episode winner edit to me.
Yeah, I agree. So. And she's gotten the, like, I just call out Nick in all the right ways.
Yeah. She got to be a bride, and she, like, got the first wedding dress.
She was cute, but not, like, judgmental. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Anyone that you think is going to get sent home at the rose ceremony?
I don't even know half their names
yet. Maybe. As much as I like Jamie's story, I think she got friend-zoned a little
bit. Yeah, I agree.
So I think
I wish we would have seen more of her, but
if they were going to drag that story out, they would have done it then. So I think
they would have made it a reveal rather than just, like, dropped it in.
Yeah,
yeah, I think you're right. She might go home.
No one is, like, I haven't really gotten.
I think some of the ones that I don't know their name.
I hate to say, like, I think I actually don't even know what episode Lacey goes home, but I think she might. Just based on airtime, like, I think.
I felt like she's got the friend edit a little bit.
She's getting a friend edit.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She kissed him once, but it was not really there.
Yeah. I could see Christina going home. Christina is the.
Oh, the Russian.
No, I actually think she's going to stick around a little longer.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, we will find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
I would say Brittany, but she got to hang out in her altogether. So she's
I literally know no one.
I'm so sorry.
I think there's a blonde Elizabeth, and I feel that she will go home because
a blonde she got.
Yeah, Elizabeth W., the one who wore a wedding dress.
Night one. Which she then posted on Instagram, and she was definitely wearing a wedding
dress. I got nothing. Sorry.
Yeah. She was second out of the limo, I think.
I remember her dress, but I can't picture her face.
Okay, our producer is telling us that we have yet again babbled on for too long. Shut up, Nick.
You.
Okay. All right. So next week, let's hope that Nick is a little bit better behaved with the ladies.
I agree.
Get it together, dude.
And that it's more enjoyable to watch and less like me hiding behind my blanket being like, this is painful.
At least Liz is gone, which I liked Liz, but that whole storyline was cringe nonstop.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for the
pleasure as always.
I ate all of these. I'm sorry.
All the candies and all the wine.
Oh, man.
Nutrition facts. And it's only 11.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. First, Corinne thinks the girl with the least clothes on looks the best and makes the best impression and therefore wins all the things. Women are more than just sex machines, lady. Corinne, I think, you know, you just have some growth to do. We're going to give that a 3.
Yeah, she's got some self-esteem issues, maybe. Next, Josephine smacks Nick by surprise. Violence, even non-consensual dramatic violence, isn't okay just because you're a woman. We're going to give that a 3.
And then several women basically call Corinne a whore for taking her top off. There's a lot of slut-shaming going on around Corinne. There are so many other things to poke fun at her about. Let's just not go there. We're going to give that one a 3.5.
And jumping off of that, it's repeatedly stated that Nick can't marry a woman who is sexually open. There's a major Madonna horror complex going on in this episode, and it's really unsettling. We're going to give that a 4 because we should have left that in the last century.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Olivia Caridi, and our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, please remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook, so please go and like us. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too.
And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.